It's the Tiltcast, episode 351.
I'm going hungry.
And this week, guys, we talk Niflheim, Warframe, Battletech, and Bard's Tale 4. Stay tuned.
Terrible.
Little Justin's going hungry, too.
I'm going hungry.
You can stop now.
I know.
Please. There we go.
Damn, that's loud. It's the Tiltcast. We're back.
Yeah.
Finally, we've had a long week.
Oh, yeah.
But today is September 28th.
Oh, boy.
At 9:05 p.m.
Yeah, because we're late.
Because we're late and a week late. And I'm Nos.
I'm Jason.
I'm Rusty.
And together,
we're not the Tiltcast.
I can't believe that just happened.
Oh, my God.
I want to sing I'm Going Hungry for some reason.
I'm going hungry. Inside
my
joke, guys. Inside
joke. Let's just say that the dog seems to cock block me in multiple ways. The dog cock blocks me by hating the girlfriend, and then the dog cock blocks me by loving the girlfriend. It's like she just doesn't, there's no in between. Either way, she wants all the attention.
Of course.
She's ridiculous and in here trying to get through the cable jungle.
Right.
Somewhere.
Oh, my God. Got a cable manage.
Starting to trigger me. A little joke that Jason started singing that when I told him what was going on with Zoe. And I was just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
So fitting.
Yeah.
Perfect. Fucking
the
dog.
The thing was, the song was in my head just because it was the last thing on the radio before I pulled up into Justin's driveway.
Oh, seriously? Oh, jeez. Yeah. I guess it could have been a whole lot worse.
It was like perfect. Well, it could have been that or the song before, Twisted Transistor.
There you go. Wait. No. No. Oh. No.
Bad porn music.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Twisted Transistor. It's like, that's not corn.
Yeah. It is. It is.
No way.
Yeah. That's like the 2004 album.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not music that I listen to.
I forget. It was a horrible album, though.
That was probably the only song that was radio worthy from it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much.
I remember when I was back in a band, we used to say they downtuned their bass so low that you could use the bass strings like bow strings. And by bow, I don't mean cello. Boing. I mean like bow and arrow. Because that bass was slappy.
Yes. Slappy bass.
So we've been doing a lot of things, and I won't go into the boring shit, because last week Jason ended up doing a whole bunch of shit for a friend.
For free.
And it just wasn't happening. I had stuff going on, too.
Me for free. The hell? Shit, I even had to buy your caffeine today. Fuck you. Fuck you.
So
this is payback for all the shit I did for you for free earlier in your life.
Oh, wow. Jesus, he's like calling in the fucking favor now.
I am.
It's a pretty cheap favor, though.
That's true.
So also, I know I'm just going to jump in because I did have some crazy shit that did happen. I went out of town also, so I was out of town the day before we were recording, and I was super hungover. I was in a state of disarray when I got back.
Yeah.
I went and me and Trent, formerly doing this, who still does the show or does the back end of the show. He runs all the back end magic. He also does Cabbage. So Trent and then John from Carousel or John Musum and my friend Jason, who's not on this show, went down to Dallas, which for us is about a 3.5 hour drive. We went down there to see a really old cold wave band called C-Tech. And another band called Kim Lab, which is also like an old industrial band from the 90s.
Kim Lab's cool. Never heard of C-Tech before until I saw your post. I was like, I got to check this out. So I listened to some of the music. It's all right.
Yeah, it's just, it's a lot of drum and bass and like cool synths and really dark shows. but they were really cool. If you really dig deep into like old counterculture stuff, main vocalist for C-Tech is in a band called Front 242, which is really big in Europe in like the late 80s, early 90s, early 2000s.
Okay.
So anyways, we went down there and saw him at a really tiny show. Probably 100 people. Yeah. At a little bar. And on the way down, we got a really big car. So, like, we were going to drive our own car, but we decided to get a rental car. And John rented a fucking Expedition.
Oh, Jesus.
Which was perfect size for us.
Right.
So that was really fun. And we got to this hotel. And this hotel, so we got the Red Roof Inn, right? We're not so young that we're going to drive back the same night because we're not that crazy, right?
Red Roof Inn.
But we've got a room at the Red Roof Inn. What we did not do is look at Google Maps of where the Red Roof Inn is.
Whoops.
This is a last-minute decision. Trent got a room there, and then I... and then we said, yeah, we'll all stay in the same hotel. And so I'll try to explain this, and I'll show you guys this picture in a second. Oh, but boy. There was a picture... on our picture, there was a poster on all of the different facings of this place that said, hide your things, lock your car, take your keys, on all of the railings.
What part of Dallas was this?
This
in?
Is just south of Plano, so it's not
wow.
horribly bad.
Those are not small.
No, these are huge signs.
These are like big things.
These are like signs that are like 5 feet wide.
Holy shit.
So there was these signs posted like 4 to a side for each side of the hotel. There was a locked gate that went into it. And there was a guy smoking crack when he pulled in. So, like...
oh, well, you know. Classy.
It was classy.
Very,
it smelled of mildew. And I, in my infinite wisdom... So, Trent and his girlfriend got a room, which I expected, right? I didn't want to sleep in the same room with Trent and his girlfriend.
Right.
And then me, Jason, and John shared a room. And I said, you know what, guys? You guys can have the beds. I brought a sleeping bag.
Yeah.
But I didn't factor on the floor being hard laminate.
Oh.
So it was a hard laminate floor. Thank God I brought a pillow, so at least I had a pillow.
What was this? A Red Roof Inn set up like a Motel 6?
Dude. Oh, it was worse than a Motel 6.
Dude,
so this was like three levels
below.
You
know what this was.
This was a hooker hotel.
Yeah, this was a by an hour Red Roof Inn.
It wasn't quite by the hour, but it was $70 a night.
It was pretty friggin' close. Yeah, 70 bucks a night.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And the hotel I usually stay in for PAX is usually 180 bucks a night.
So,
by comparison.
What I'm going to say is you probably had the right idea by sleeping on the floor because it's probably the cleanest thing in the fucking room.
Well, yes and no. So my deal for sleeping on the floor was Jason and John were going to buy all my drinks.
Oh.
So I was like, if you guys buy all the drinks, I'll sleep on the floor. They're like, yeah, cool. We'll do that.
Yeah.
They'll
spoon.
We went to the show. We had a lot of fun. Like, we ran into Jared from Kim Lab outside the show.
Yeah.
And then we ran into him after the show. Like, he was treating it like there were 100,000 people there.
Of course.
Like, he hammed it the fuck up. I will say that C-Tech did an amazing job and had kept a really cool ambient atmosphere. Jared, the main vocalist from C-Tech, is 58 years old. And still acting like a 25-year-old rock star. Like, I went to go get a beer while I was in the middle of the show, and he comes out and then drags me back in as soon as I get my beer.
Yeah.
Like, he had, like, you know, he didn't even have a wireless. Like, it was a cord, but the cord was, like, 200 feet long. He runs all the way out and then grabs me by the pant leg and, like, drags me back while he's doing the show, which I thought was hilarious. But, super fun guy. He was really appreciative of the show. Like, you know, I bought merch and all that shit because, you know, they were playing a tiny ass show. Like, right. I gotta buy some merch. I felt bad, you know.
Right.
It was a pit stop. And then we had a lot of fun with those guys.
Can't let go, still trying to tour.
Well, here's the thing. Like, the tours that they normally do are a lot bigger. So, like, I'll try to show a picture here in a second for you guys. But he just played a show of, like, 10,000 people. And when I say he just, well, the reason I know this is he had a lot of fun with us while he was doing the show. Really, really high energy. He added us all to Facebook.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that's the show they did immediately after. So.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they were not, they're still doing a pretty decent job touring. It's just they happened to play this tiny ass club in Dallas, which is close to us. So I don't think it was well promoted or anything. Like, the show only cost us $20.
They probably just did it for fun.
Yeah. So, like, we went in there, like, and just had a blast with him and stayed afterwards and drank a few beers with him and hung out for a little bit, took a bunch of stupid pictures that Trent posted that were fun, right?
I saw that.
And yeah, we had a blast. Like, they were really fun to hang out with.
Like, you got a good picture of him while he was singing, and he actually liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that.
So, like, you know, yeah, he's following me on Instagram now. He's very into his fans. I don't know what we did, but we must have made a good impression with him, right?
There you go.
He seemed like a really nice guy. But, so anyways, we had a whole lot of fun doing that, and they played a really long show with a lot of classic songs from them. So that was really, really fun. Now, I drank an enormous amount because it was John and Trent, like, or John and Jason buy me beers. So every time I'd start to go to the bar, like, Jason would, like, go up there and get two, right? Like, one for me, one for him.
Or right.
John spotted me a few, too. And then the night happened.
Oh, God.
And I went to go sleep on the floor.
Oh, God.
And I positioned myself between the bed and the AC thinking I would be cooler right there, you know? What it didn't count on is the coolant cycling all the time and hearing that. And then there being a drip and a little drip pan next to it that kept
super
dripping.
Classy, man.
It was super gross.
Oh, my God.
And I woke up at like 3:30 in the morning.
Comes up with a spittoon.
I woke up at 3:30 in the morning with my back, like, feeling like I'd been sleeping on stairs, and to gunshots, too. Like,
oh, yeah.
I heard, like, so three or four gunshots, and I would just...
Super classy.
And I was so hungover and so, like, I was like the Sahara Desert in my mouth, and my face was pounding. Like, my nose hurt. Like, it was bad. My teeth were wearing sweaters. Like, it was really bad. And I get in the shower for a second after 2 hours of sleep, so I went to bed at 1:30 and woke up at 3:30. And I just tried to, like, rinse the drunk away, which didn't work very well. Now, I didn't throw up or anything. But, like, I had two or three shots of Jaeger and about 13 beers.
Wow.
Lightweight. It wasn't bad. I mean, it's all 6-point, right?
Right.
But.
Lightweight.
You guys never
drink
that much.
I drink that nowadays anyway. I haven't fucking drank like that in a while, so...
Well, and I haven't drank like that all year.
Right.
Like, I didn't even drink like that on my birthday or anything.
Right.
So...
I had a beer, maybe two.
I was super shit-faced, and I considered falling asleep in the shower, and then as what usually happens, reason kicked in for a second and said, you might drown.
Yeah, you could probably not wake up from that.
So I decided to, like, dry off and then go lay back down and try to sleep, so I slept for, like, another hour or so.
But I've been there.
And like, then
the
shower's
fantastic.
And I just ended up sitting on the floor in the middle of my drunkenness until people started texting me that they were waking up. But I didn't want to go outside because I didn't feel safe. So, like, I considered, like, what there was a Denny's in the parking lot. There was an actual Denny's there. And I considered walking over there and just hanging out, drinking some coffee and eating something. But even when we all went to breakfast at, like, 8 o'clock, I couldn't eat breakfast. My stomach was just like, nope.
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 Wow.
So I didn't sober up till part of the drive back. I drove most of the way up there, so I didn't have to do any of that shit. I just tried to, like, fucking snooze while we drove back.
Oh, wow.
But you know what's weird? Like, driving, I haven't been on a road trip in a little while. Like, me and Trent went and saw Sloppy Seconds over in Louisville, Kentucky, and that's like a 10-hour drive. And when we went there, it didn't feel that long. And then going to Dallas this time, like, didn't feel like a trip at all. Like, the older you get, like, 3.5 hours is, like, pocket change.
Right. Well,
you just
flies
get by.
Used to the fucking boredom is what it is.
Well, we just, you know, shot the shit the entire way up, and it was like any other conversation with Trent and Jason. Like, they're hours long.
Right.
So,
it
just, you know, we just kept going. By the time we never stopped talking. So, right. You know.
So but, it's like, oh, we fucking just left. No, it's been 3 hours.
But yeah, I mean, I felt like I looked like shit. And in fact, I have a picture of me looking like shit that I take way more pictures than I post. I sent it to my girlfriend in the morning. She's like, you look like shit.
This is my, you know, I look like shit Instagram. My drunk Instagram.
Drunkstagram.
Drunkstagram. Boom.
This is what Drunkstagram looks like.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
You look miserable.
That's me at 3:30 in the morning after hearing gunshots. I'm so mad.
You look like...
From the bathroom, it looks like.
Right it is there, in the bathroom.
Right there, you look like most ugly mugshots you see on the 10 o'clock news.
That's what it looks like. It looks like a fucking mugshot.
He's like... when the drunk tank actually looks good at the moment.
Yeah. But yeah, we had a blast. I mean, like, it was such a small and intimate show, like, that Jared was talking afterwards for about 15 minutes talking about the first show he ever had in Dallas and all this other stuff. Like, he just made it really fun for the fans, and like, they were just, he just walked out into the crowd, and they're just, instead of there being like a pit or something like that, it just,
right,
people gave enough room to walk around, and like, he just stood in the middle of everybody and talked, like, super personal. Like, the whole band was introduced, he was really nice to everybody that was in the band. Like, he wasn't being a cocksucker that,
right,
some guys that, you know, like, their band's noticeably way younger, aside from the drummer, which I think is the only other original member. They're probably like his kid's age.
Right.
Jeez. So, but he was really cool with hamming it up with them as well and letting them ham it up and have fun too. So I was a, and hopefully he, if he listens to this, I hope you forgive me for this.
Oh,
I was never the biggest Kim Lab fan before.
Oh boy.
I actually had went down there for C-Tech, and then after seeing them and the level of energy and fun and genuineness that he had, ended up being a little bit bigger Kim Lab fan after that show.
Ooh,
than I was for C-Tech. So,
convert.
Yeah. Yeah, so I will see Kim Lab anytime they're in town at this point. They're just,
you know, Tulsa this time.
Yeah, Tulsa this time. I could not believe that they put on that much of a show. So I had a fuckload of fun.
Sweet.
Aside from the hangover the next day.
Great. Well, those suck.
Yeah, they suck.
They always suck.
Nobody likes the hangover.
So that was the most interesting thing I did. And I played games. We'll get into that later. Rusty, did you do anything fun or?
No.
That was short.
He spent more money on Warframe.
I did, actually. That's,
how much did you spend now?
So
what's your total?
My total. Okay, so
I want you to think about these life decisions.
Okay, I'm thinking about my life decisions. The first $200 was delirious, and I don't remember it until afterwards, right? So preface that. This one was another 140.
Why are you spending this much money on a single game?
On a free-to-play game?
Yes.
On a free-to-play game with microtransactions?
You know, I've
you knew I that this 60, was going to happen.
I spent $60 out of respect on Warframe because I like the game, right?
Well, so this is the thing. When it came to looking at whether or not I was going to invest more into Warframe or just continue playing the game, I looked at it and I said, man, I've been playing Warframe on and off for, you know, since it was released. I remember like the very first release of Warframe and how minimal it was at the time, and then it just kind of grew and grew and grew. Well, the thing I'm justifying it in my mind as, this is me supporting somebody who's doing free to play correctly. Because, and one of the main reasons why I'm doing this, as me as a player, is to kind of catch up. So I've got 4 years worth of like blank space. I didn't really do a whole lot of anything in that 4 years. I maybe logged in once or twice, but I didn't actually play the game, and I missed so much of the game. Like, there was a lot of stuff that is time sensitive. It's vaulted, so you can only get it, you know, during a period of time.
Yeah.
But there's players that have been playing since day one and never stopped, and they just basically banked all that stuff, and you can buy it from them for platinum. So the way I'm looking at it is I'm supporting the game, you know, that's genuinely good. I am supporting their upcoming release of Fortuna, which is looking fan-fucking-tastic.
Is that another expansion for Warframe?
Yeah, but, I mean, everything for Warframe is free, so, you know, they're basically building this whole new area, you know, for a free-to-play game, and you don't have to buy anything to get into it, you know? So I'm kind of supporting that, because they're doing a bunch of graphics passes on stuff that, that hasn't been touched in years. So it's looking very, you know, very good after the graphics passes. They're making new systems. They're doing all kinds of real, real cool shit with it. So I said, okay, what am I going to do right now? I'm like, I'm not really into picking up another game at the moment, so I'm going to use my budget for this. it only happened, you know, these things only happen every like 3 months or so. It just it just so happens that I purchased the last Prime Access when there was only 1 month of that Prime Access left. Right. So there was another Prime Access that came out. I said, fuck it, I'm going to go ahead and do it. And, you know, this will allow me to pick up all the Prime stuff that people have banked, and I can just buy it with the Platinum and then kind of catch up to the current progression. And I'm not necessarily buying my way all the way to, you know, to the top. I'm still grinding for the stuff that's currently available. It's just the stuff that I can't get anymore. That's what I'm buying. So it's, for me, it's a lot of fun. I mean, I spend, okay, so I think right now, if I was to look at my Steam profile, I think Warframe finally beat out Dota 2. Now, not, mind
you, I've seen you on it most days that I've seen you on.
Mind you, I didn't have a whole lot of time in Dota 2, but I still put a lot of hours into that.
Yeah.
But I think Warframe finally beat that out. And the last time I checked, which was beginning of this week, something like that, it was up to about the 400-hour mark.
I believe it. You've put 40 hours a week into it, at least.
Pretty much, yeah. There's a event called the Plague Star, which is one of those things that only happens every so often, maybe once every 6 months or so. It runs for about 2 weeks.
Hey, Rusty?
Yeah.
You have 138.2 hours in the past 2 weeks.
Damn.
You're working that like 2 second jobs.
Damn. I didn't know I was that bad, but damn. It's 138 in 2 weeks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Holy fuck, dude. I might be addicted. That's fucking crazy.
I haven't spent that much time. I haven't spent that much time sleeping or working.
That's like every waking hour that I'm not working. Holy shit.
How many days is that?
What? 140 hours is.
Is 6 days.
6 days out of the last 14.
Shit.
I work 12-hour days.
I'm surprised.
Are you even pooping?
No.
I'm surprised your body's not like, I'm going hungry.
It's a thing that.
Leave it to me to out you,
yeah,
in front
thanks.
Of thousands of people.
Thanks, man.
Rusty has almost 140 hours in 2 weeks.
So, yeah, I really enjoy the fuck out of this game right now. And honestly,
Here's what it is. This is the loop that Rusty's in. He's like, I spent more money. I must spend 40 more hours. I spent more money. I must spend 40 more hours.
Right. Well, I mean, the boosters, they tick down even when I'm not playing, so I might as well. So every time you buy a Prime Access, you get 90 days worth of boosters because it's every 3 months the Prime Access
90
happens.
90 days, though.
90 days. Now, 90 days of boosters. Every 3 months, a new Prime Access comes out. You buy that, and you get another 90 days. When I bought the last Prime Access, which was Chroma Prime with Rubico Prime and Grand Prime, which if you're a Warframe player, Rubico Prime is fucking crazy. Chroma's all right, but needs a rework. Grand is stupid, but.
If you put in the same amount of times to take maximum advantage of that, Rusty,
yeah,
you could have 887 hours more Warframe in 90 days if you continue at the pace you're at.
Damn. I'm going to have to, like, take that as a challenge. I don't. Yeah. So, yeah. I play Warframe probably longer than most streamers play Warframe in the last 2 weeks.
You're playing Warframe more than I used to play World of Warcraft.
See, what's
I used to
crazy,
put in 40 hours a week.
What's crazy is I actually put more time into World of Warcraft when I was playing it. This is...
Yeah, but that's because you had no life outside of Warcraft.
Okay, but you also have to, you know, take this into account. The Steam time is not necessarily time and missions. So the time and missions...
It's time with the game on.
Yes, but I have been known to pass out at my keyboard. Oh, shit. Okay, maybe I'm
there
a little addicted.
Telling on yourself again.
So...
You have 3.5 work weeks in 2 weeks.
So
on something so when you already work 50 hours a week, I don't even know how you're human.
So all this tells me is that he ignores his brain going, I'm getting sleepy.
No, that's the thing. I'll be fucking playing Warframe, you know, because I work overnight. So
what time did you go to bed today?
Today?
Yes.
What's bed?
What time did you go to sleep? What time was that stream?
So 1 o'clock, right? So the live stream happened at 1. Uh-huh. And it lasted for an hour and a half-ish or so.
So you went to bed at 3?
So I went to bed at 2:30-ish.
And woke up at 8?
Well, I mean, that's a normal amount of sleep, isn't it? 4 hours is enough, right?
At some point.
At some point, I'm just going to shut down?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. No, the thing...
How much money do people spend on cocaine?
Probably more than what I'm spending on Warframe. Thanks. Thanks for justifying it. All right,
so it's somewhere between methamphetamines and cocaine in price.
Thanks. No, I do actually get sleep. That's the thing. You guys just... You know, like I'm trying to say, it's time... What you're seeing on the Steam page is just time... logged into the game, but I'm not necessarily always actively fucking playing the game. So, like, fucking last night, for instance, about 2 o'clock rolls around in the morning, I'm playing the fucking game. I've got a YouTube video on for fucking, you know, something Warframe related. I think it was like a build video or some shit. Like, I have that stuff playing in the background while I'm, you know, while I'm grinding. It's kind of like, you know, catching up on the, you know, on the, you know, builds and everything like that. And I'm like, oh, this is really cool. And I start getting a little sleepy and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to take a little break. And I go back to my orbiter and I stand up from my computer and go over to my bed and I lay down and I'm like, I'm just going to stretch out for a bit. And I pass out. I wake up and YouTube's still playing in the background, by the way. So YouTube's algorithm somehow goes from Warframe videos and build videos to a hour long like analysis of like the those bargain bin freaking like, you know, imposter videos, like the videos that is named like Braver instead of Brave, or like
I don't even know what this is.
You know, it's the like the direct from freaking, you know, somebody's basement freaking animation that's a cash grab off of like a Disney video. You know, they're obviously imposters, but they look just like the, you know, like the Disney video. So people pick them up from the bargain bin and realize that they've made a mistake when they get home and put it into the DVD player. There's a dude on the internet that watches like 8 of those things and critiques them like as how bad they are, like worst movies ever made type thing. And then tries to find out who the animators are and who the who the company that produced it was, and outs them on, you know, on their craziness and, you know, bullshit. But that's what I woke up to, is somebody fucking like analyzing a really like terrible edition of Ants.
Really?
Yes, like Ants. I mean, it was bad, like freaking like early, you know, mid 90s kind of computer animation bad. It was like made from fucking like maybe 3 or 4 polygons that just flapped a little bit. It was crazy. So that's the kind of crazy shit I woke up to after playing fucking Warframe. It's like, what the how the fuck did we end up here?
Wow.
I don't understand YouTube's algorithm. It's basically telling me that I need to watch really old shit fucking like imposter movies. I did watch an actual fucking movie. I watched Infinity War.
I haven't even watched that yet.
Oh, you gotta watch Infinity War. I gotta tell you though, I gotta tell you from my personal point of view, I don't disagree with Thanos. I don't. And that's the thing, like, all the other movies, like, previous up to this point, was, like, Thanos is just kind of, like, the dude in the chair, and he's just kind of, like, the menacing, like, overlord of, like, the all the minions and shit, right? But him personally in that movie, I didn't disagree with him.
Well, I'll say this about Thanos, and I say it just from reading non-spoiler reviews and whatnot. Seems as though they took his motives from the comics, where his motives in the comics are literally to seduce death.
Yeah, well,
like,
there's that, but
that's his whole goal behind trying to kill half of the universe, etc.
It's a little bit different, but
it's, yeah. Well, his means are despicable.
See, that's,
he has a, should we say, halfway noble reason behind doing what he's doing?
See, the thing is if you watch that movie, you realize that he has to go through those motions, the despicable means, but he's looking for a better way. And that's the thing. I did not have a problem with Thanos as like a character. Like, normally you would hate the villain, yeah, right? But I kind of saw where he was coming from. Does that make me a mad titan too? Can I snap my fingers and make that shit happen?
Well, I'm going to say that you're not. I'll say right now, I'm not Rusty's quite right. Not exactly.
I'm not quite right.
Empathetic to the majority of the world's population.
Not really. Not really.
But he likes puppies.
Oh, buddy. Yeah.
Oh, he does.
See, the thing is.
Oh,
is,
he does.
See, the population problem, you know, the snap of the fingers, has nothing to do with puppies. So, twice as many puppies for me, thank you very much.
But it's all life.
But it doesn't have to be. Nature will find a way.
Okay, Malcolm.
But no, I really actually enjoyed the Infinity War movie. It was really, really good.
Well, I know there were a whole lot of people that got pissed off about, but here's the thing about Infinity War. If you watch that movie, you have to understand that while it's not named so, it is very much part one of two.
Oh, yeah. No, it's
there is a second part.
It says at the back, you know, back end of that movie, the Thanos will return. So, yeah. Oh, and the deleted scene is actually really, or not the deleted scene, but the post-credit scene. There's only one.
Yeah.
But the post-credit scene is definitely worth watching. And I'm interested to see what the new movie coming out here soon.
I want to go, Mr. Stark.
Oh, it's not that. It's
I don't want to go.
I don't feel very good, Mr. Stark.
Somebody fucking ruined it for me and put that on Facebook.
That's okay, because that's just one.
I know.
There's a lot of...
If you haven't heard by now,
yeah,
half everybody turns to dust.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be a spoiler at this point.
Well, I mean, even if you followed the comics at any one point, you realize that he actually made, you know, actually did it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's...
Yeah, it was just the Vision and Adam Warlock basically got the gauntlet from him in the comics and reversed it.
Well, wasn't it also Nebula? Nebula did it too.
Yeah.
Nebula controlled the gauntlet at one point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. Things like that.
I mean,
I can totally fucking see. I won't go into spoilers, but I can totally see.
You do know you're going to have to watch Captain Marvel before you watch part two.
I know. And I actually am. That's the thing. I don't think I would mind watching that. honestly, Captain Marvel doesn't look that bad.
No.
I looked into the character and I saw, okay, so this character was kind of, you know, rode the wave of the comic book, you know,
yeah,
you know, all the comic book characters, but it was basically Marvel's way of putting a strong female lead somewhere. Yeah. And this being the first Marvel Cinematic Universe female lead superhero that is essentially what, fucking Superman almost, you know, so hell yeah, I can't wait. Besides, I think that she's I think if they capture her her attitude, her what drives her, I think that would make a really great character.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
look up what drives Captain Marvel, and you will see. I think that is that's a unique approach to you know, to what drives a superhero.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, and then, you know, there are certain elements about Captain Marvel that kind of tie in both the comic forces of the Marvel Universe and magic to some extent. So it kind of ties more of it together.
Well, yeah. But, you know, Captain Marvel, like, from my research of Captain Marvel, which is, you know, it's not that, you know, it's like a half an hour on a fucking wiki, right? But Captain Marvel is an alien. You know, the original Mar-Vell is an alien, yeah. And then she kind of, like, you know, wanted to be able to fight alongside him, and then got into a what is it, a Krull, like, you know, something or other, a machine that basically made her wish come true, drew power from his, like, mega bands or whatever the fuck, and gave it to her innately.
Well, and since we're not a comic book podcast, but I know quite a bit anyway, for those of you who don't know, the original Captain Marvel is actually an alien called a Skrull. Skrulls are originally who were the Secret Invasion, which MCU replaced with
what?
Fucking blue dudes in
fuck. See, now you're gonna fucking, like, it's
yeah, I know. It.
So the like the Ronan fuck, Kree.
Yeah.
This is, yes, Kree. See? Ha, I got it. Yeah. It just floated through my mind and I get it. It splatted against the wall like a bad fucking spaghetti noodle. but yeah, no, the Kree were they play a role, but the Skrulls definitely, that could really fuck up the whole fucking thing. Well,
so, like
the Skrull invasion and Deadpool.
All of this was all of the Marvel Cinematic Universe today is the Kree, the Chitauri, who were actually led by Thanos, if you paid attention,
right.
And Thanos himself.
Right. Right.
The all new phase 5. Watch.
Yeah.
It'll all be Skrulls.
Yeah, of course. It's already actually, you know, it's already kind of confirmed that Captain Marvel's going to introduce the Skrulls as, you know, as a race. Well,
they kind of have to, cuz they're kind of essential to her being her.
Yeah, but I think that, I mean, the amount of chaos that that the Skrull invasion actually, you know, introduced to the, you know, to the whole Marvel universe, just trying to figure out who was who and, you know, and who was an imposter and who was not, because, you know, if you're not, you know, if you don't know, the Skrulls actually are shapeshifters, and they can, you know, they can emulate the same powers as a person. So if they emulate a superhero, they can basically take over their identity and be completely indistinguishable from actual superhero.
One of the best Deadpool issues ever involves the Skrulls.
Oh, yes. And they made the horrible mistake of trying to steal his fucking, like, his powers, which also meant that they were exact copies of him, and they all fucking went insane. It was fucking great.
And then self-destruct, because what's the one thing the Skrulls didn't have that Wade Wilson does? Cancer.
Yeah. So they ended up, so his powers basically keep his cancer in check.
Because it's always producing new cells.
And
if you introduce that healing factor to a body that doesn't have something eating at its cells, like Wade's terminal cancer in, 50% of his body?
Or more.
Boom. Meat balloons.
Crazy, raving mad meat balloons. Exploding.
It's amazing.
It's great.
I will say this, I recommend, if nobody's actually read the Deadpool comics, if you are not easily offended, which you shouldn't be if you listen to this show.
Right.
No, you need it. They're required reading.
They're actually pretty damn good.
A few soft spots in it where they change writers and they start changing things up, but that's usually only for like the first issue or two of a new writer, and then gets good again.
Yeah.
Like his whole stealing death from Thanos.
Well, yeah. Right. And then Thanos was like, no, that's not going to happen.
Death wants Deadpool because Deadpool can't die.
Right. So, yeah.
Ultimate fetish.
Right.
What you can't have.
And Deadpool wants death because that's all he ever wanted.
Pretty much.
He's like, I can't die. So yeah, no, that's what I was doing. I spent a lot of fucking
all
time
of this it. Combined with the fact that we now have pretty much near guarantee promise that the X-Men will show back up in the universe at some point. Now, do I think they're going to get their own movie anytime soon in the next couple of years?
I know they are.
Doubtful.
I know they are. Yep. You haven't actually fucking seen it, have you? Look up Dark Phoenix.
Oh, no, that's the last of Fox's movies. I'm saying...
But
actual MCU.
Oh, you mean coming back to the fold so that you can actually see see the Avengers actually interact with the X-Men?
Yes.
Okay. Probably not until after this full cycle. But... That's just because they've got a really good thing going with their current cycle.
It'll probably be 2021 or 2022 before you see the X-Men.
And it's probably not going to be like, the X-Men were here the entire time.
No, if they start introducing the X-Men to the MCU, they're going to sprinkle them in. They're not going to try to do like a full hard reboot. I almost guarantee you.
I think that there's going to be...
If there's one franchise that Marvel Studios is going to do that for,
yeah,
it'll be the Fantastic Four.
They've already tried three times.
No, that was all Sony.
Yeah, but they've already tried three times.
Or not Sony, Fox. That was all Fox.
Yes, but I think that there's not a lot of goodwill for the Fantastic Four at the moment.
You'd be surprised what Marvel Studios can do.
I honestly kind of want to see
You tell me you're giving me Fantastic Four that's all brainchild by Kevin Feige.
Okay. Well, there's that, I think that it would be better for Marvel just to go with something new.
Fantastic Four, they won't Kevin Feige's already said he's not going to touch that for several years.
Right. No, they're going to need to go with something new, and I think that they're going in the right direction with Captain Marvel.
The X-Men with Dark Phoenix, with Fox's Dark Phoenix, they're going to kind of be at that point where, especially with Hugh Jackman retired as Wolverine,
right,
they're pretty much going to be at the perfect point to start folding that in a couple years. And
it's sad, actually, because the Phoenix storyline for, you know, for the X-Men was basically supposed to be the culmination of all the X-Men movies, and it's kind of like the last dry fart at the end.
Pretty much, because have you watched Age of Apocalypse?
It's pretty bad.
That's not even a dry fart. That is a, oh crap, I think I shit my pants.
It's
The movie's not horrible. It is fairly entertaining in parts.
Right.
But as a whole,
no. I stopped watching the X-Men movies, actually.
There's no
drive for me to watch them.
The X-Men movies,
they've been kind of bad for a while.
Yeah.
The X-Men movies have two crescendos.
Yeah.
X2.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
And Days of Future Past. Everything around those,
yeah,
fucking farts.
Yeah, bad. They're just like
ranging from dry farts to horrible, creamy, shitty farts.
Wow. Get more descriptive. We need it.
I mean, at least they weren't
good without it.
At least they weren't the full on shit your pants like Rise of Silver Surfer was.
The kind of farts that clear out fucking rooms. The really rancid ones where you really think that you might have had something roll up your ass and die.
I forgot exactly how bad it is having a dog in the house again.
Until a fart happens. Oh, I can out-fart your new dog. So,
he's been mad at me because I totally screwed up his routine.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of which, 3-year-old has been too, just because I screwed up his routine. Dog and child both fart in my fucking chair on top of me, both at the same time the other night.
Oh, boy. They're in sync.
Oh, my God. I thought I could clear a room. I was wrong. You know how bad a cat box smells when the cat doesn't cover it up?
Yeah.
This was worse.
Of course. Dog farts are the worst, man. I'm just saying. This is bad. They're really bad.
Crystal goes to tell me that she added fucking eggs to his food.
Oh, what? Oh, yeah.
Why would you do that to a dog?
That's just asking for rancids.
She's been doing that occasionally just to kind of help build him back up, because he's still in the process of really putting weight on. He's not.
You don't want to do it too fast.
Yeah, you don't want to do it too fast. You slow play it, but you know, it's just extra protein added to his food. She didn't cook the fucking eggs.
Oh, nice.
That particular day.
Nice.
She just cracked them over the food and stirred it up.
Oh, nice.
The sulfur fart was real.
Well, I bet. Oh, yeah. It's one thing I don't miss about dogs. Fucking farts are bad.
Fucking farts.
Like, and the smaller the dog is,
the more rancid the fucking fart.
They fucking, like, concentrate. It's weird.
It's because their bowels are tiny.
But, like, it might be just, like, the smallest, like, lap pug. If that thing farts near you, you're going to smell it fucking 3 blocks away. It's fucking, like, concentrated.
Well, that's because they don't fart once it fills up. No, their bowels are small enough that it all just compresses.
Oh, yeah.
So then by the time they do fart, you're getting, like, 2 days' worth of fart.
Jesus. Why did we start talking about farts? I think it was me. I'm sorry.
Because Justin came back into the room.
Oh, yeah.
We gotta do our best to gross him out every now and then.
Yeah. Yeah. See?
I mean, I'm okay.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm okay.
you sure?
Yeah, I'm really sure.
Fucking Yeah. So
he's getting tired. It's almost 10 o'clock. That's what it is.
Oh, you bitches. It's the beginning of my day. I'm going to go home and play some more Warframe.
I know you are. So for by comparison, I played a fair amount of games, right?
Yeah.
And I don't have near the playtime you have. Like, I was able to put a decent amount of time into two games. I played three games. I played a lot of Battletech,
yeah,
Bard's Tale 4, and Niflheim.
I saw Bard's Tale on, you know, it would pop up every time I'm, yeah, you know.
How's Niflheim?
So I'm at 71.3 hours in 2 weeks over all three games.
You're not doing it right.
A half.
You're not doing it right.
Again, I ask, how's Niflheim?
So Niflheim, let me explain what that is. I've got about 5 hours into that game. It is a game that's pretty grindy. It's a super...
Talk to me about grindy.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like a already generated Terraria. Like, there's not any kind of randomness to the generation, right? And you're a Viking that has died and is kind of stuck in the in-between. And you're basically trying to survive in the in-between world, which means that you got to chop down trees, you got to gather resources, you got to craft new items, you got to mine, you got to do all those things. And there's like these predetermined mines that are like these tunnels of rock or whatever that have minerals and things like that. And you kind of go in lines back and forth with the rocks. It's okay. It's been a good time waster. It's not the best game I've played. It's not the worst game I've played. It's just slow. But it's been good podcast gaming, right?
Because you don't really have to concentrate on it real hard.
No, and it works with the controller. You can basically just hold a button and just like mine or chop or grab everything in front of you for a while. You can hold down a button and he just kind of travels and grabs. When you fight, you basically just hold down a button. Depends if you're ranged or you're not. You just point him and he fights. And you got a block button, I never use it. It's not bad. It's just not great.
Great design. I've got a block button, but I don't use it.
Like I said, time waster. I don't know if it's worth $20, except for the art style, because that's really good. The animation's a little bit rough. I would say watch some people play it and see what you think. Get it on sale. It just came out Friday. It's been in early access for a while. I picked it up a long time ago, like on the $13 cheap or something like that, because it was on early access, and just patiently waited for it to come out. I was playing it right before you guys came over, so I mean, it's not like boring. It's just a good... It saves right where you quit the game. Like, literally, it's like a save state. So you can just exit the game and it's saved. That part's kind of nice.
All right.
I'll get into another game. Like, Battletech has released a shitload of patches, and there's a patch right now where when you're completing actions, you can click spacebar and everything will speed up for a second, so the mechs move faster. There was a lot of complaints from a writer from Rock Paper Shotgun, and he said, I'd like the game better if it was a little bit faster when I wanted it to be. Well, they put that in there because there was even a mod that was out, and I think it was a small percentage of very vocal players that wanted that. I wasn't one of them. But I've dicked around with it a little bit, and it is a little bit convenient when you're doing missions that you got to move a lot. So that part's nice. I'm still playing Pokemech with it. I'm loaded into a few missions, just doing the random missions to try to finish my collection of mechs before I finish the final mission. New expansion comes out in like 2 weeks, so maybe I'll finish the game and start all over because it's a fabulous game. Battletech meets all expectations aside from the fact that it's a little bit ugly. But it offsets that with its genuine heart and its genuine tactics. It's really well designed. I really, really, if we had a out of 10 scale, it would probably be like an 8.5 out of 10 on our 5-point scale. It's like a 4.25, I guess. I don't know. 4 out of 5 is what I give it. I think it's a pretty damn decent game. It's on my list for things I've played a shitload this year. I put 118 hours into it. I like this game.
Huh.
And I keep going back. And if I start playing it, I don't really stop playing it. Like, that's what I'm playing the rest of the night if I start playing it. I can put it down at 80 point and force myself to not play it. But if I start playing it, it's more random missions. And I don't care that there's the same. It's the strategy's fun. I like the animations that my mech does. I've got a really solid strategy for how I do things, and I'm going to play it that way every single time. I'm going to go hunting for mechs again because it's just fucking cool.
I'm having a hard time.
Yeah, Battletech is... This year's release, Battletech, is fucking awesome if you like tactical games, and if you like giant mechs, really good for that too. Like I said, not the prettiest game. Just watch some gameplay videos. It runs a lot smoother than it used to. That's pretty, I'm sure. They've been actively patching it.
Sweet.
It's really good. Bard's Tale 4. This is an interesting release. So
okay.
I think the Steam reviews are pretty fucking harsh. And I'm going to say part of it is because Kickstarter backers weren't getting their keys before people were able to buy it on Steam.
Oh, shit.
So that's where a big thing. Point of the Steam mixed rating is coming from, is from that. And some technical issues.
Well, that is kind of a mistake. I mean,
but don't tank it on Steam.
Metacritic, if you look at most reviews right now, are rating it higher than Battletech, and I like Battletech a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So that ought to tell you something. Like, Battletech is a good game. This is ranking higher than Battletech.
Well, that's good.
It does have a couple of other issues, though.
Yeah.
I don't know what the deal is with big games, because it's not really open-ended. I mean, you can go anywhere you want in the game, but it's not like a Skyrim. Doesn't have like randomly generated missions or anything like that. It glitches in weird fucking ways sometimes. It's not really a glitch. It's just if you have a spinning hard drive, it takes like 3 or 4 minutes to load on a spinning hard drive.
Oh, wow.
If you put it on a solid state drive, it takes about 30 seconds to load between transitions. So I moved it to a solid state and all that went away. It's not even a big deal at all. But before it was like, I'm going into this pub. I'm going to go make a sandwich. I went back and looked at some of the gameplay videos from before, and it was on the original promo video. It does look better than what it does look like now. So I'm going to say that right away. Lighting effects are better, and then the quality of the models is a little bit better on that promo video that they showed.
So they basically downscaled it a little bit?
Yeah, they've got a resolution scaling thing in it. I have the 970 overclocked running it. It's running a little bit chunky. It's doing a lot better now that it's on a solid state. I believe that was most of it, was just being able to pull all that stuff off a spinning drive.
That's just optimization, though. That's if it's a new game from a from a developer that's probably hadn't gotten it into enough hands to be able to get it optimized.
Well, so. I've got one. It's not game breaking, but mission breaking bug that I have right now, where a button's depressed in a puzzle and I can't unpress it. So I emailed Exile, and I was like, hey, guys, I'm really stuck. I've looked all over the internet. 2 hours later, I got a response.
Of course.
Okay, so what is it? Send us a screenshot. Send us your DirectX report. So I send it. Another hour goes by. They send me another thing. They're asking me active questions.
Right.
Did you save by exiting the game, or did you save at the save point that's the floor below? And I was like, I exited the game and said, well, if you have a save from before, you can fix it. But what happened is you did an autosave in this particular room, and it is a bug we are very aware of right now, which is going to be fixed in a future patch.
Oh, well, see.
But they responded really quickly. Like, I was really impressed with the level of response time on it. They had that going for them. And I don't generally email, but I do genuinely like the game. So I was like, I want to progress in this tower.
Right.
And I was just stuck, and I was like, oh, man, this kind of sucks.
You'd be surprised how many times, that a developer will actually do that. Not necessarily maybe the bigger studios, but, like, the ones that are bringing back something that they like. It's a labor of love, and this is pretty much what this is for them.
It is.
So they want to make it succeed. And if there's a bug that, that's preventing you from being able to do something, yeah, they're going to definitely want to do that. Or they're going to want you to provide as much information and see if they can, get you past it.
I was just surprised that I got all of this before lunch.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I sent a message at 8 in the morning, and then they told me, and then I just said, I'm actually reviewing the game right now for the show I do, but like I said that at the end, like I didn't get a response after that. But,
right.
But I was like, I'm taking that into consideration. I felt really good about them responding so quickly to it. And the reviews on Steam, I'm just going to kind of go through it. It has to do with the skill selections. It's a really weird list, and I think these are mostly Kickstarter backers that have reviewed it.
Uh-huh.
So I guess there'd been a lot more talk about expanding the total amount of active skills you can have at any one point. It's reduced to 4, so there's a lot of people that are kind of upset with the choice of only having 4 skills. There's the issue with the load times, and there was the issue of the backer keys and some of the physical goods that didn't get shipped out when the release happened.
I
don't know what happened, but like even the website's down right now, so I don't know if they got a DDoS attack or...
That's been going around.
Like, there's just something that's going on, but like it's just a weird state for the studio. Now, the game itself, it is not the prettiest game. I'm just going to say that. It's on Unreal 4, and I've heard read reviews of people saying, hey, it doesn't look as good as it should for an Unreal 4 game. Like, these are the kind of reviews I'm getting. None of it has to do with, I don't like the mission design. I don't like the music. I don't like a lot of it is...
It's
nitpicky shit from what sounds like people that were backers of the game that maybe Brian Fargo might have oversold some things, right?
Right.
It could be that. I don't think he's done it the way that Sean Murray has, but...
Right.
They were pretty transparent in the way they were making the game. There was a lot of... people are complaining that there's save totems, right? There's like a save post. You click on it and you can save, or you can click on it and consume it. If you consume it, you no longer have that save point, but you get extra XP. So you get an XP bump right there just for consuming the save post. So it kind of Dark Souls it a little bit, you know, like here's your risk reward kind of thing.
Okay.
And you can exit the game at any point and it just saves it right at that spot.
So what's the point of the save totems?
Just so if you die, you go back to the totem, because if you died the other way, it wouldn't do anything for you.
Oh, okay. So technically, you can actually save the game whenever you want.
Right, which is playing it little bite-sized chunks.
If you want a respawn point, then that's where the save totem comes in.
Right, you don't really lose anything. It just starts you back at your progress and where you're at before. It's not that bad.
So just I'm trying to understand a little bit more about that. So if I go into, say, a really tough area, and I go as far as I possibly can, you know, and get a bunch of loot and experience and whatnot, and end up dying, do I get to keep all that when I respawn at the spawn point?
It literally is like it's a save state from earlier in the game.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, my grindy brain was thinking about how you could cheese the fucking game. So
you can do that kind of stuff in Dark Souls, but you couldn't do that in this.
Okay. Yeah, because in Dark Souls, you could get as far as you can fucking go, die, and as long as you didn't die again while trying to get back to your souls, you could get it back.
And that was just experience. No items that you picked up or whatever. Right. You would still have that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of, like, suicide runs you could do to get certain items. With this game, though, I mean, that's how that mechanic works, and it lets you start off with a bard that they've pre-generated or kind of make your own character. The classes they have is basically fighter, rogue, bard, or magician, and each of those has several subclasses, and there's a hidden subclass that I won't talk about that I've got on my bard right now. Sweet. Which you can kind of morph your characters into different classes. The customization is pre-generated, so it doesn't go into like a Skyrim level of detail. You can make Brian Fargo as one of your characters, which is kind of funny.
Interesting.
He's in the game as Farron Brigo.
Oh, jeez.
And he talks a bunch of nonsense. He's in one of the bars. But you can also play a character that is modeled after him, which is pretty funny. It's weird then in that the grid system works as there's four square grids on either side of the table, so to speak, right? So think about when you enter combat, enters into a grid combat, and there's four by four grids, right, on either side of the table, right? And your characters are avatars on that have some kind of simplistic animations, much like a card game in a way.
Mm.
And then the characters across from you are fully animated, so it's kind of a weird design choice, and I think I figured out why they did that. I think they wanted to take you through the game fully in first person with a party, but you're playing as any one of those members of the party. Does that make some sense?
Yeah.
Like, you're not traveling in a group before, you're traveling as one person that packs out to four people, I guess.
Oh, that actually calls back to, you know, some of the older RPGs from back in the day. Like, Might and Magic was the same way.
Right, had it's a very much like many of the Might and Magic RPGs.
You know, 4 to 5, you know, characters, but basically a first-person view, and you selected which character was active at that point. So if I had a mage and I needed to cast a fireball, I would select my mage, but it wouldn't have an outward effect outside of highlighting that portrait.
And that's there's minimal animations in the portraits themselves as to what's going on, or spell effects, so... My bard is a support class. Like, he carries a sword. He's got some sword abilities. But he gets drunk and gets spell points. And then as he gets drunk, he is able to play a tune. And that tune buffs different people in different rows and different shapes. Currently, mine is like a battle drum thing that I do that gives me a flame shield for everybody and gives my bard, like, extra armor.
Flame on.
Yeah. He is getting drunk on Heineken and hitting the bongos.
So, like, and there's different kinds of wine and beer that I can make, like, that all has different effects. And basically, my intelligence level determines the level of drunk I can get. So my bard has, level 18 intelligence, which means I can get
super 18 drunk.
Stacks of drunk before he gets a bonus to physical might. And then he is stunned for one turn, and then all of his stacks of spell points go away. So basically the idea is for me to spend the spell points as I'm getting drunk, and most of the time I don't get to where I pass out. If I'm getting to, and I've got him kind of set as a healer, so he's got a lot of support spells that he uses. And he's a mainline attacker, though. He doesn't have a lot of HP, but he has a shitload of armor when he starts barding up. So he's in the front row, and you can switch rows and move characters around as you're doing it. It costs an opportunity point. It's got a rather simplistic stat system, and I won't go real deep into it, but you don't have to. Basically, intelligence is the amount of magic that you can have if you're a caster, or the amount of interrupt it takes. So if I have a caster, he has a mental intelligence number, and when he charges a spell or whatever, he has a number. So like my caster's at a 27 intelligence. That means that there has to be a mental-based attack of 27 or higher to break that charge or that effect before it goes away. The actual attack power is all strength for no matter what you are, mage or bard or fighter or rogue or whatever.
Okay.
And then you have basic armor and basic HP. So the armor reduces it by the exact number. So if I have 16 armor and it's an 18 power attack, I take 2 damage. But there's a shitload of different effects. So they've kind of simplified some of those things.
Right.
But there's a lot of combos that can be made. So my mage casts a flame spell that melts armor and then also does an acid damage over a time effect. I've got a sunder armor attack that my warrior has. I've got a berserker that has a similar attack that also has an execute attack. I've got a spell or a sword attack on my bard that hits like 3 times. And then sometimes refunds the point. So I have, or at this point, 5 points or 5 attacks, and each attack costs so many opportunity points.
Right.
And then my spell point system is completely separate, and the bards and my sorcerers all generate those points separately, so they can either use an opportunity point to generate spell points, or they passively grow them as the battle goes on. So you spend a lot of time in grid-based combat as you go, but you just walk around first person, then when you start an attack, there's a screen wipe, and then they're on a grid.
Okay.
And that's kind of how that works. There's a shitload of puzzles, and there's not very many guides out there, so I have solved all these puzzles naturally, and that is not difficult. I felt like a genius a few times. And they're all a lot of riddles. Like, some of them are pretty easy, and some of them are pretty hard. So, like, there's a riddle that's talking to a talking wall, and he gives out the riddle, and then there's a whole bunch of, like, fruit and beer and all sorts of stuff, and I have to set them in a certain order in the statue, and it's based on what riddle I'm getting. There's a riddle in a hall that I was in, and the riddle had to do with where there are different symbols in the room. So after I figured out what the symbols were, I turned several different dials to open a door to get the key to go to the next area.
Okay.
There's these weird puzzles where you have, like, these energy beams that are made out of blood. That's kind of a weird way of saying it, but you just kind of have to see it. So basically, think blood lasers.
Holy shit.
And there's all these different, like, you're making like a, it's like making a circuit board. You're creating all these different connecting points to get to different areas, and certain ones produce more power than others, and you have to kind of figure that out to get to the next area so to unlock it. So there's all these, like, every little dungeon has a shitload of... There's a music puzzle, for crying out loud. So you hear the puzzle, and you hear a crow... I'm going to give away a little bit, but it's you're still going to have to figure the fuck out. You hear a crow cawing in the background, and in the exact order that you hear the caw is the way that you hit the bells in order to open the door.
Interesting.
So you have to hear what it is, what notes the crow hits, and then you hit the bells in the right order, and that's how you open it. And there was another one that had to do with bells that had to... You played a certain song you heard in a tavern on the bells. That one was hard because I recorded it on my phone. And then I went to the bell puzzle after a while and revisited that and figured out the bell puzzle. Trying to think of some of the other really hard puzzles. There's a constellation puzzle. Like, I kept seeing these like stones with a whole bunch of points that connected to each other to open doors. And I finally figured out, after a certain point, I got an item that let me copy down the constellation that was on the stone. And then I got to a point where I could enter the constellations on like a master stone, and that opened up all the different portals in this area. Hmm. So there's a whole lot of like stuff like that throughout the game. There's these weird, like, I call them, they're fairy puzzles. You scare a fairy, you set up a bunch of points to direct them in a different way to make them go hit a stone that unlocks a door. Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff like that. Like, the whole game is very puzzle-based on top of the combat. There is more puzzles in this game. There is as many puzzles in this game as Portal. Like, it is insane.
Interesting.
So,
you didn't say it was going to be puzzle-heavy.
Oh, it's really puzzle-heavy. And there's a lot... There's another puzzle that I thought was really interesting. So, in the digital guide that comes with it, it comes with a guidebook that gives some general tips for different areas. There's also something where you can print out a template and put it on cardboard and make this little code wheel. Well, somebody digitally recreated the code wheel, and what it is there's the altars that you go to, and it'll have a symbol of like a wolf and then like a bird with a moon symbol next to it.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is you take the code wheel and change it to point at the wolf, and then you turn the moon symbol until it points at the right phase of the moon, and then you get two numbers, and you open a book in your inventory, and it tells you to place like a cabbage and this saffron wine, and then that unlocks that boon and provides you with a weapon or gold or experience or whatever.
Huh.
And then some of those weapons are puzzle weapons, and what a puzzle weapon means is that, I'll give you an example, most of them are very similar. You have on the very end, there's usually a dial that turns into line up symbols, and then you got to put in some kind of elf seed thing in there, and it provides a stat boost, and that closes, and the weapon shapes itself. And then you've got on the hilt, usually there's a thing that turns, and you got to line it up and connect the dots on this energy wave that's going through it that opens up another thing. You put it in another little gem, and that opens up another set of stats. And then you find an altar, and then you place the weapon in the altar, and then it unlocks the other set of stats. And these weapons are all very unique and overpowered and really fucking cool.
Sweet.
So a whole lot of like, it's pretty unique. That's why I say I'm having a lot of fun. Now, I have had some bugs, like I said. Not to the point where it's just completely PO'd me, aside from that tower, but they reached back out to me. So I don't know where to put it yet, though. I mean, I've put 40 hours into it so far, and I think I'm kind of close to the end of the game. I think I'd play it again. I think if there's supposed to be another patch coming out extremely soon, I think if they iron out some of this other stuff, it would be potentially an like extremely good game.
Huh.
But like I said, they set a hard launch date, and I think they needed about a month, really.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not that much different than a lot of games.
It's not. It didn't fall flat like No Man's Sky did.
No, it's just it's for the way it looks, it runs kind of poorly.
But that's optimization. Like I will give a developer, especially if it's a Kickstarter or like an indie style game, I will give them a little bit of leeway, especially right after release for performance. Because optimization is one of those things that's really hard to test.
Especially on PC, where you have to optimize for so many different configurations.
And that's why getting the game into people's hands is actually a way of pulling that information and getting it optimized right. So
I don't know how big their QA department is. Let's just say that.
Yeah, well,
it might have been the developers themselves, you know.
I mean, you probably were talking with with one of the developers, that did some of the code for that shit. They'll probably get the optimization taken care of, especially if they like the game as much as they do. So,
and yeah. I will say that overall, the music, if you like a lot of the Scottish and Celtic stuff, is pretty prime. The music is done extremely well. It's unique. I've never really heard any, I've heard stuff like this, never in a game, but it's all vocal. It's got a lot of that weird Scottish drum stuff, some occasional flute or, pipes or whatever. But
right.
It is done. The singing and it's like going to Ren Faire. but it's good. It's really good. Like, I kind of want to show you guys on break how good the music is.
Well, we'll do
it's
that.
It's the Bard's Tale.
Right.
The Bard's Tale has a shit ton of unique music. It's really good.
Well, it's kind of in the name.
If that's what if you like that kind of thing, it's really good.
I like me a Ren Faire every once in a while.
Yeah. I mean, I listen to a whole lot of different stuff. I mean, listened to electronic stuff last week. Been listening to Ice-T's Body Count and Meshuggah. So, I mean, like, I've got a pretty wide range of what I like. But the Celtic stuff I've found pretty... To the point, I don't want to listen to a podcast or anything while I play the game. I just want to hear the music, like, all the time.
Well, that's not bad. That's not a bad thing. So many games nowadays don't have very good sounds.
I just hope the Steam sales doesn't fucking annihilate it on sales, because I would like an Exile to make more games.
Right.
So,
well,
I mean, Wasteland 2 has been getting good reviews on Switch recently, so that's good.
Right.
But I don't know how their sales are doing right now. I feel kind of bad about that. I mean, there's not that many reviews on Bard's Tale right now, and it's still sitting in a mix.
Well, you shouldn't take Steam reviews at face value for a game. Honestly, you really shouldn't, because a lot of people are using that like they use Yelp to just dog shit a fucking a company or a game or a product or whatever, just because they didn't like a specific little thing about it. It's not necessarily that the game is bad. It's just that one person is butthurt, and if you get enough of those people who are butthurt about something small, then it's gonna tank a freaking review and bring it to mixed or whatever, and it starts to question whether or not somebody's gonna want to buy it. And I mean, it was one of the things that No Man's Sky had to fight, because they couldn't get rid of the old reviews when they did their latest updates.
Yeah,
they thought it was a fantastic day when they got to mixed. Because they were over, it was generally negative beforehand. So,
well, I'm just going to give you something. So, like, they had a patch roadmap that they released shortly thereafter. Patch 1, estimated Friday 9/21, they put through that patch. Patch 2, estimated today, 9/28. Talking about load times, continued work and optimization and frame rate, widescreen monitor support, save totem system and adding mini-map markers, localization, making abilities a little bit more clear, more balance passed, another fix on masteries, another fix on some sounds, some issues with the HUD staying open, an issue with a couple of things that stay on the screen when they shouldn't be, and then a patch 3 after that they don't have, but they're adding controller support and a grid move option. And better inventory sorting, because inventory does not sort. It is all self-sorted, and it's atrocious.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And there's a lot of shit.
I don't know.
But, I mean, I moved it. I use a program called Steam Mover, which I highly recommend. When you have too many games on one drive, I have almost 600 games. I've had my Steam account for damn near 15, 16 years. So it's been my PC game library for more than a decade, right? But sometimes I need to move games and I don't want to delete them because I'm still playing them, but I want to move them off the drive so that I can have access to it later. And Steam Mover literally runs a command on your computer in DOS or in DOSBox, and it runs a move command and then adds a dynamic link in the folder forward on the source drive that links to the other drive to start the game. So Steam doesn't know any different, but it moves shit back and forth. And I scooted Wolfenstein to my old drive, and because that takes up like 80 gigs.
Right.
And then my tiny ass SSD, I moved this over there because it's 50 gigs.
You need to get a bigger SSD.
I know. But I moved it over there, and holy shit, that improved everything. So anyway, Bard's Tale, I like it. I've talked a lot about it. I'll talk more about it next week and see if any more balance passes go or see if I beat the game. But I like it pretty well. If we're going to do a rating right now, let's see. If everything got fixed, 4.5. Oh. If everything stays the way it is, I'd give it a 3.8.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
I like a lot about it, but I feel like a couple of passes are needed. And I think that...
You've been chomping at the bit for this for a year now.
Months. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Months, years. A while. Me and Newsom backed it. I didn't have money to back it at the time before the Kickstarter ended. But I'm playing it.
I'm sorry. I just noticed the mountain of can is gone.
I did something about it. I was embarrassed.
All right. Yeah. You want to take a break?
Yeah, we'll take a break.
All right. We'll be back. And we're back.
Do-cha.
Oh,
damn.
Do-cha. Do-cha.
Yes, we are back.
I've been watching a lot of Star Trek again. Because reasons.
Of course.
So I kind of wanted to get into some news. Reasons? Some things that I thought were pretty big. You guys saw that thing I posted with Telltale Games closing.
Holy fuckballs.
Yeah, that happened right in the middle of the last season of Walking Dead, too.
Right.
I have to say it took me by surprise.
But halfway, then again, it didn't.
But then it didn't because, well, if you looked at Steam Spy before it went bye-bye, they didn't have a whole lot of sales-wise.
That's kind of sad, considering there's some games in there that I really friggin' enjoyed.
Well, not only that, but of all the studios that have done games by season, episodic games, they were by and far the best as far as overall quality.
The problem is that...
But the market became oversaturated.
Well, not only is the market oversaturated for those games, but... I think that it just highlights how flawed episodic games can be.
Well, so if people can just watch it.
That was a big, big problem for Telltale because, I mean, a story-driven game where the only thing you get out of it is the story, yeah, you're going to watch somebody else play it. But the other thing is episodic games, they're banking on people buying the episodes so that they can continue producing more episodes of the game, right? So it's not like they don't have all of the episodes ready at release. Otherwise, they release it all at once.
Well, I usually waited till it was fully released before I picked it up.
And that's the problem with episodic games, especially if you're banking on people picking up episode one and then getting hooked on it so that they would want to pick up episode two. People like us, we'll be sitting here going, fuck it, I'm going to wait until all five episodes are out, or however many episodes there are, pick it all up at once and binge it like fucking Netflix.
Which is pretty much what all of us did, I mean.
And that's what, it's what, one of the reasons why it tanked. The other one was Twitch. I'm pretty sure Twitch and YouTube Let's Plays really killed that company, unfortunately. I stayed the fuck away from them because I actually wanted to play the games. And experience it.
Well, I was looking forward to this season to see what they did with it, so I'm kind of sad that you're kind of left hanging. Like, they were complete stories, but I wanted to see what they did with Clementine in the last episode. So.
I'm pretty sure they're gonna... something's going to happen. Something.
Nothing's going to happen. The hours after they close the door, they let the employees out the door.
Well, I know.
There is nobody working on the games. Zero people. They've sent a tweet that said we might try to get some other studios to finish a project. They have no money.
Yeah.
They're just sell the idea. Done.
They're at a point where somebody else would have to purchase the IP and continue it.
Yeah.
It's at a very, very low hope of return at this point.
Which means Clementine's, our hopes.
Clementine's story is going to be told. The last part of her story is going to be told in tweets.
Our hopes of Big Beast's story being continued are dashed.
I kind of knew that was happening, though. As soon as they came out and said that they weren't going to continue the storyline that they had ended with, I kind of figured that was kind of tanking. So it's rough. I mean, you know, they were basically the name in, you know, storytelling games.
Well, let's face it. I mean, they kind of reinvigorated the whole point and click adventure.
That and the choose your own style, you know, story. So
I liked them all right. I still have the final chapter of Batman I need to get through, so I'll probably play that.
Yeah. And Batman's one of the better ones.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited to actually jump into that at some point. Speaking of studios closing, Capcom shut down the Dead Rising studio.
Oh, wow.
Capcom Vancouver is no more.
Yep, and it was following a loss of $40 million in investment, so I'm wondering if 4 didn't do so hot.
4 didn't do so hot, and zombie games are... Maybe this will stop more zombie games.
Dead Rising had a unique formula. It was you make your own weapons, and then you kill hordes of things.
Right.
It could have been fucking hordes of aliens.
It could have been, and it would have been better.
But I know you have an aversion to zombies. It's been oversaturated by The Walking Dead and a lot of other stuff.
Zombies just needs to go away.
But, I mean, I genuinely like the Dead Rising series, so... little bummed by that. I really like that studio's take on it. Now, 4 didn't really hit me the same way that any of the other ones hit me. But, I would have liked to have seen what they did next.
I will say 4 wasn't... They didn't really change enough with 4. 4 just felt like 3 with a new story.
No, 3 had better villains. 3 had a lot more interesting replay value. 4, you played it and you were done. 3 had... You could go back to 3 at any point and replay that a different way. Like, I could play through now and like 3.
No, I'm just talking more about how the game felt.
Seriously.
Oh, excuse me. Gameplay-wise, it wasn't really any different. They didn't really introduce anything new. It was just kind of... all the same systems. And they brought back a character they didn't really need to bring back with West. I mean, that just... there was no reason for it.
I could do without all of them. I really can.
I genuinely like them. So
I tried to play and enjoy. I think it was Dead Rising 2.
Yeah.
And I could not get into it. There was just no. A fucking mall full of zombies. Oh, come on, guys. Seriously?
Yeah.
And then they go and fucking make it a fucking city full of zombies. And I'm like, I hadn't seen this before. Oh, this is a new concept. Oh, there's just more of them on screen now. I can use like fucking blades in a fucking Wolverine style, like, you know, situation with fucking punching gloves and shit. Punching gloves. Fucking boxing gloves.
Boxing gloves.
Punching gloves. Punching gloves. Because gloves made specifically for punching.
So I do gotta say that this week at TGS, they released a new Death Stranding trailer.
Huh. Is it just as strange?
I'm getting a little bit more excited. Oh, yeah, it's still very much Kojima.
Of course.
I mean, it's Kojima.
Kojima. Kojima.
But this trailer actually introduced, like, a human antagonist. Yeah. Which actually looks pretty fucking badass.
He just needs to get the damn game in people's hands. He's got, like, these cinematic, like, fucking fuck teases that, like, you know, that sit there and mess with people's minds, and he loves to do that shit with his fucking, you know, with his followers, but honestly, get the fucking game into people's hands. Stop fucking with our minds.
It's Kojima. It's not gonna be out till he likes it.
Yes. Okay. But, I mean, till sure.
Koji likes it.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. I'm done with the teasing.
It's gotta make Koji bust a nut before he lets it out.
I'm just done with the teasing, as well. Just get the fucking game out to people's hands. I mean, honestly, you spent how much fucking, you know, effort and fucking time trying to get a goddamn cinematic trailer out there just to tease people with another minute and a half worth of mind fuck? Use that resources to get the game out a couple weeks earlier.
He's a controller tease.
Okay. All right, that's fine. That's cool.
Do you guys have anything else that you found?
Bah.
Not really. What you had were the two biggest pieces of news the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I didn't see anything else. I felt like those things were huge.
There were a bunch of trailers that dropped, but, you know, other than the Death Stranding trailer, there wasn't anything, you know, like too special. I'm just taking one last pass through.
Not really. There's just not a lot. Content drop. Really, there was some Fallout 76 stuff that came out. Another official trailer that came out there. That's about it. I guess there's some Devil May Cry gameplay out there as well for Devil May Cry 5. I haven't seen it yet, so there's that. And I don't know.
There's not really a whole lot news-wise to get excited about.
My head's been so far up fucking Digital Extremes' ass for the past couple of weeks. I the only thing I see is Warframe. I mean, it's serious. Yeah.
That's horrible.
We know. For those of you that are interested, you've got Assassin's Creed coming out next week. So by the time we release this, Assassin's Creed will come out.
Odyssey.
Surge has got a new DLC that's coming out on October 2nd as well.
One of us needs to actually play the new Tomb Raider.
Yeah, we do.
Not volunteering. Head up ass, remember?
Valkyrie Chronicles is coming out on Switch on the 16th. I know there'll be some people interested in that.
Yep.
Shitload of stuff releasing on Switch. Is that as far as re-releases?
Valkyrie or Valkyrie?
Valkyrie, probably. I'm getting tired.
All right. Valkyrie. It's my new way of saying it now.
The Symphony of the Night and Rondo of Blood for Castlevania is coming out on the 26th on PS4. That actually is going to have a 4K pass on the pixel perfect goodness that's out there.
Oh, interesting.
And then you got
4K pass on that. They're 4K-ing pixels?
I guess they're just making sure it doesn't look fuzzy.
Okay, I guess.
Fuck.
It looked
Fallout 76 coming out on the 14th. Battlefield for all you fuckers that care about that. Darksiders 3 coming out on 27th.
Darksiders?
Yeah. And I think... something you didn't know about.
What's up?
Katamari Damacy Reroll coming out on PC and Switch on December 7th.
I am getting that. I am so Katamari getting Damacy. That.
I think that's really your big releases. I'll keep an eye on things as it happens to see what kind of comes out. Some of the indie stuff sometimes surprises me, so I'll keep an ear to the ground if I find anything kind of amazing.
Okay.
I don't got anything else. It is a news dry week. We've just, everything was trumped by the studios closing.
You know you can officially play Undertale on the Switch now, right?
Oh, you could do that instead of play Warframe. Doesn't that sound delightful?
No.
He said you're going to do it.
Not right now. I can also play Warframe on the Switch, too, so don't fucking test me.
You've got more hours in Warframe than I have in gaming in the last 2 months.
Well, I mean, that's what I do. Yeah. So people in my fucking clan think that I am a fucking, like, rich asshole. Because I'm like, day one, got the Prime access. They're like, how the fuck? How do you do that? Didn't you just spend $140 and have to correct them $200?
You have to realize you are that rich asshole.
So they have nicknamed me the rich uncle. I am now an elite in the clan, which means I can like recruit and basically just because I'm rich.
But you do just have the disposable income because you're only sticking your dick in your hand.
Right. You did forget to mention that.
Fuck.
You did forget to mention even giving yourself time a couple of upcoming releases that are worth it.
What's that?
Thornbreaker, The Witcher Tales, comes out on the 23rd.
What is that?
For PC. It's 2D RPG based on the Witcher universe. Okay. So it's like another story. It's all done by CD Projekt Red.
Okay.
It's kind of flown under the radar, but it looks interesting.
Okay.
And of course, Red Dead comes out on the 26th as well.
Oh, I thought that was delayed to next year.
I thought that was delayed as well.
To like February.
Son of a bitch. Are you looking up old information now?
I think it's old information.
Son of a bitch, man. Get with the times.
Yeah, Red Dead's not coming out this year.
Hey, I can't help it if the list I'm looking at is wrong.
You can't look at an updated list.
Stop looking at Kotaku.
I'm not. And actually, the official release date is still October 26th.
Interesting.
I don't got anything else. Let's wrap this shit up.
Yeah, it's late. All right. For you guys.
Find us at tiltcast.com. Find us on Facebook and Twitter.com/tiltcast. Search for our YouTube channel at youtube.com/TheRealTiltCast and search for us on iTunes.
Find friends of the show. Find For the Love of Gaming. Find Cabbage.
Cabbage.
Find the Carousel Podcast. Painting.com. Look for Musum's album on Bandcamp called Storm of the Revenants, just released. Pretty cool. You can get all his music for $13 at $13.50 on Bandcamp.
$13.50 plus 2 cents.
Right. You can also find other friends of the show, bmfcast.com, noquarters.net, and tvgp.tv.
They do great things.
And they play probably Warframe.
They do. Maybe. All right.
That's end of the damn show.
Already.
Peace.